Have you ever sat, maybe in a chair, maybe on the side of your bed, and you've said, God, why me? God, why am I suffering? Now, God, I can understand people that don't even care about you. I can kind of understand why maybe they're suffering. But God, I love you, I know you, I'm trying to serve you, and why am I suffering? Why am I going through these difficult, hard times in my life? I'm serving you. I'm committed to doing what you want me to do. Why am I suffering, God? Maybe you didn't quite do it that dramatically. Maybe you did it a whole lot more dramatically. Maybe you've just been fed up at times with God and saying, why am I going through this? The suffering can take many different forms. It could be physical suffering. Something within your body is just not working right. It could be physical suffering. It could be something going through in our life like bankruptcy or children that have gone away from God or a number of things that just create suffering within us. And you said, God, what gives? Why would you take me through this? I'm sold out to knowing you and loving you and serving you, and I'm going through suffering. Why is that? Well, if you've never asked that question, and I'm sure everyone at one time or another has, we're going to talk about this morning. Why would God allow us to do that? We're beginning a new series, and the series is entitled, What Are You Doing, God? Do you really know what you're doing, God? And today we're going to be talking about why do you, God, allow me to suffer? Why do you put me through some of these things? And I'd like to say at the front, sometimes we get into our own suffering because of our own bad decisions and stupidity. We do. We make just bad decisions and that. But there are times beyond that where this question is very legitimate. What are you doing, God, and why are you allowing me to suffer? What I'd like to do this morning is begin a 5-week series. If you'll open your bulletin for just a moment into the inside part, all 5 of these messages are all chapters in the Bible. I'll either do a whole chapter or a portion of a chapter that deal with, I think, these kinds of questions. Next week, I don't like your plan, God. We're going to look at James chapter 1. God says there's a reason that there are trials in your life, but we have a choice. We can say, okay, God, I understand your plan, and I'll work with you through it. Help me. Or you can choose not to, and within James chapter 1, it tells us the results of those choices. This is overwhelming opposition, God. That's from the Old Testament book of Ezra. And Ezra felt overwhelmed, didn't know what to do. There are times we feel overwhelmed. How about this one in the book of Genesis? Are you testing me, God? Little story back there about Abraham offering Isaac. Does God actually test us? Look at that chapter in the very first verse, and it's a very interesting verse. We're going to be talking about this. And then finally in Daniel, I think it's chapter 4. Are you in control, God? Come on. Are you really in control? And yeah, I believe that, but where does it say that in your word? What example is there that we can follow of that? That's what we're going to go over the next 5 weeks. I hope those are questions that you've wrestled with. I have at times, and I am assuming most every one of us. And so I'm not going to do topical studies here. We're just going to move through chapters, and these chapters, I believe, help us to understand and to answer these questions. Today we're going to be in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and on the blue Bibles provided for you. And I would encourage you to open your Bible. If you don't have one, the blue Bibles, it's on page 816. And we're going to be looking into 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm almost tempted to do this. Has anybody studied 2 Corinthians chapter 1 within the last 5 years? Okay, a couple people have read through and do that. But really, 2 Corinthians is such a neat book because it really is based on 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, there's 7 questions that this church asked Paul. and these seven questions are answered in the book of 1 Corinthians. Then there's a report given to Paul, and in 2 Corinthians he writes back and continues to clarify and encourage and instruct this first century church. And that's just the background of where we get 1 Corinthians was a church in Corinth. I've actually been to the location where they think this church is. And 2 Corinthians is a follow-up to this. So what we're going to do then is look at 2 Corinthians. Paul's going to be praying to the Lord as we get through a couple of verses of introduction. Then he's going to pray. And then he's going to talk about his suffering. And as he talks about his suffering, he knew God. He loved God. He served God. Why was he suffering? And I think as we look at his example, he will tell us some reasons why we go through some tough stuff in our life. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. He's writing to them. It's always neat. They always told him who was writing to them in an ancient letter. It always started with the author. It says this, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Now, the church of God in maybe, for us today, it could be the church of God in Lake Elsinore, together with all the saints throughout Southern California. That's how we could write that in today, just to give you an idea of who he was writing to. Then he says, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You first have grace and understanding what God has done, then finding out after that grace you will then have peace. It's never the reverse. You don't have peace first, then grace. You have God's grace, then his peace. And he begins a very common way that Paul began many of his New Testament letters. All right, then there's a little section here from verses 3 to 11 that I want to share with you about suffering. And Paul was suffering at this time. We don't know a lot about the specifics because he doesn't tell us. But we can make some good guesses at what was probably going on. Let's begin then in verse 3. It says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. It's interesting. As he begins here, we're going to focus today on the God of comfort and compassion. As we study God's Word, there are times where we focus on God as the great judge. We focus on God as the healer. But today, it's about the God of comfort and compassion. Comfort here, the idea is to encourage, to uplift, to strengthen someone. And the thought here is that God comforts us in all of our troubles. All right, let's talk about troubles. Do you feel any pressure in your life? Do you feel any stress in your life at times? Do you? Yes, you do. Yes, absolutely you do. That's the idea. He comforts us in our troubles, our pressure, our tribulation, and our stress. Those would be modern words that we could use in understanding verse 3. Well, why does God comfort us? All right, verse 4. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. It says here, God gives us comfort when we go through difficult times so that what? We can comfort others. So when Paul is writing this, he's not interested in just getting comfort so he can feel better and have relief. He's not writing because of that. He is writing because he has received comfort from God so that he can then comfort others that go through similar pressure, trials, and tribulation. And verse 4 then kind of gives us the idea of one reason why God may allow you to suffer. Why does God allow you to suffer? On your outline, so that I can, on your outline if you've got it, comfort others in their suffering. That's the first thing he's pointing out. Paul said, I'm going through difficult times. I am suffering so that I can comfort others. And he says in verse 4 that, applying it to you and me, one of the reasons you go through suffering is so you can encourage, you can strengthen, and you can comfort other people. You ever thought about it that way? Most of the time we don't, do we? I mean, if you've not lived for a while, you go through a difficult time, a hard time, and you're saying, I just want to get through it and get out of it and be done with it. And God says, no, no, I love you too much. I'm going to let you go through some tough stuff so that in your life, in your experiencing, you can reach out to somebody else when they're going through similar kinds of stuff and difficulties. So you can be sympathetic and comfort them. Examples. All right. I had a kidney stone in 1986. I've talked just a little about this, and I'm not going to talk much about it today. You know what? I could not empathize with anybody having a kidney stone until I had a kidney stone. And I don't want anybody to get a kidney stone because they're not fun. Right, Bill? I know Bill's had one, I think. There's others. Kidney stones are terrible. I don't know. Maybe it's diet. Maybe some people just get them. I don't understand all that medically. There's not a lot I can do about it. But God allowed me to have this. So I'll tell you what. When there's somebody that has a kidney stone, I can live it. I've been there. I've been through the pain of finally passing it. It is no fun at all. And all those who had kidney stones say, amen. It's terrible to go through that. Did I want to go through that? Absolutely not. It's kind of a medical thing. And I think there are sometimes things that happen to us medically. How many of you have had a biopsy of any kind in your life for something? I had a biopsy done, and I could not have understood this either, on my tongue of all places. There was a growth on my tongue. They had to take my tongue and scrape this growth off, and they thought it could be cancerous. And so I waited, what? You have to wait about 3 to 5 days. I was terrible. But I'll tell you what, when somebody goes through any kind of a biopsy, I can understand that with you. I've been there, and those feelings and that, God, what are you doing? God took me maybe through that process so that I would be more understanding and empathetic to other people in their time of physical suffering. Now, I could have just said, get me through this, God, as quick as you can. I can't stand it, and just run to get through it. And sometimes we do. But I think there's a bigger plan that God wants to use in our lives. The other thing, I blew out my leg, my Achilles tendon, my right Achilles tendon. And I was up here, you guys were here, a number of you, and I had to teach off the chair, and I had a cast on, and I remember hopping around. I was quite entertaining, I'm sure. You know, I went through that. That really, I didn't do anything crazy to do that. It just happened to me playing a sport. And, you know, I think I understand a little better some of the medical things that we go through. When you go through something like that, walk with God, pray, trust Him, and say, God, you know what? If you can use this in my life for your glory at some point, do it. And He will. Let me ask you this. And you may not want to raise your hand, I understand, but just in your heart, how many of you have been fired from a job? I have been fired from a job. Let me tell you what. That happened in 1983, C&M Chevrolet in San Diego, California. And it hurt. I'll never forget that day going home. What I was told, I was a dispatcher in a car dealership. And the dispatcher, when you go into a car dealership, they send all the work to the dispatcher, and I had like 7 different areas where I would send work to, front end, transmission, tune-up, all those kind of things. And I was doing that right after we got married. And actually, it was going pretty well, and the boss, Larry Gordon, called me in his office after about 5 months, and he said, Dave, I'm going to have to let you go. I said, are you firing me? He says, in one sense, yeah, I am. I'm just calling it letting you go. I said, thank you. But I'm getting fired is what's happening. And I said, what's the problem, Larry? And I said, I don't think it's because I'm not getting the work done. He said, nah, Dave, you actually are getting the work done. But Dave, and I can't even use the language he used to tell me, he says, you need to be more of a blank blank. And I said, you know, Larry, I understand and appreciate that, but I'm not going to be more of a blank blank. You know, you don't have to do this job that way, Larry. You don't. But, you know, I understand what you're doing, and he handed me my last check, and I got fired, folks. Let me tell you what, until you've had that happen to you, you don't understand when a person gets let go or fired from a job. God's going to put you through all kinds of things in your life. And you have the opportunity, as you go through them, to rise to the occasion, to work through it with help and support for others, or you can just ignore it. Or the worst thing is you blame everybody else that it's all their fault. You know what? It could be. Maybe it was some of Larry Gordon's fault. I don't know. All I know is that if you have the right attitude, you can get through these things, and God will use you, and that's the most important thing. So I've been through those things. Now, there's a number of things I haven't been through. I have never miscarried. Aren't you glad to hear that? But you know what I mean. There are things that I haven't experienced and I will never experience. But I've experienced some of those things. There are times when I talk to certain individuals when I find out about what has happened in their life and ask them to go talk to somebody else that I know the similar experience is taking place in their life. A miscarriage would be one. Yes, I can be empathetic and understanding, but I haven't lived there, ladies. And so I will talk to a lady that I know and ask her to go and encourage somebody. Especially if I know that that woman who went through a miscarriage handled it pretty well. Or other things along the same lines. So, I just want you to think through your life. God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. You can use it in your life. You can use it in other people's life. And Paul's first thing is he says, you know what? God comforts us so that when we go through difficult times, we have received comfort from Him and we can comfort others. These experiences in your life that God allows you and me to go through are for our growing and for our edification. On your outline, you can minister to others. That's one of the key things when you go through a difficult time or a hard time. When you suffer, and it could be in a number of different ways. I've not been through a divorce. You know, I haven't. I don't plan to. I don't. But there are people that have and that have handled them well and are still walking with God. That's a difficult time. There are a number of things I haven't, but maybe you have. The first thing when you go through a tough time is you recognize that one of the reasons God may be bringing you through this time is so that you work through it. You can help somebody else. That's one reason God allows us to suffer. Let's keep going here. He continues on. He says, for just as, verse 5, the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also, through Christ, our comfort overflows. All right? Just a couple little thoughts out of this verse. You serve God, you serve Christ, you're going to suffer. It's just going to happen. It goes with the territory. But when that happens, because Jesus Christ suffered, your suffering will be equaled and it'll be comforted by the Lord. This is such a... You know what? We write so many verses on our refrigerators, and these are so... I have never seen 2 Corinthians 1, but maybe you ought to think about writing verse 5 and 6 on your refrigerator. Here it says this, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Paul's saying some incredible things here about suffering, that he had suffered, and that he had told them that they would suffer, but that God had comforted him in his suffering, Paul, and that God would comfort them in their suffering. It's the same way for us. When you go through those times, you know God, he will give you the comfort to get through those difficult times. If you're open to him, if you want to receive it, and I think if you have a right heart and a right attitude, that those are key things that we see that Paul had discovered about suffering. That God will equal that suffering with his comfort. Basically, verses 1 to 7 are saying this, thank God that I have suffered so I can comfort others. That's one of the reasons you rejoice about suffering, so you can comfort others. But there's more. Look at verse 8 with me. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Now what he does is he says, okay, I wanted to emphasize comfort, but I want you to know personally in my life now, Paul is saying, when we were in Asia, we went under incredible suffering. It was way up here. It was every day. It was consistent to the point where we felt we were going to give it up. We were going to quit. We were not going to continue on. The suffering was that bad, that intense. It was so far beyond me, I thought I was going to die. That's what Paul is saying. Indeed, verse 9, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. The sentence of death. He said, I wanted to give up. I wanted to die. My suffering was so bad. And it probably had to do with persecution, most likely. We know he had some physical problems too, but most likely it was persecution that was going on. And he said, I felt the sentence of death. I mean, I want to give up. That's it. Game over. I'm finished. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? I want to hang it up. Paul said, in the ministry, I felt that way. I was ready to hang up, give up, quit, be done. Then he makes an amazing statement in the rest of verse 9. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Then he says something amazing. He said, this happened to me, this immense pressure. It was so much, I couldn't take it, so that God could teach me something. And God wanted to teach me this, not relying on ourselves, but on God. I think that's the second reason. On your outline, it's this. Says, why does God allow us to suffer? So that I can rely on God and not on myself. The pressure here was unbelievable in his life at this time. He was to the point of giving up, dying, finishing. And he said, you know what? God took me through this incredibly difficult time so that I would learn something. Not to rely on me, but to rely on God. And I think that is critical. I think that is one of the second reasons. Well, it's the second reason that he gives. God says, I'm going to take you through some deep stuff. And you know what's going to do, especially, I think this can happen to believers who have walked with God a little longer maybe. Not always, but a little longer. And God says, I'm going to push this person because I love them so much so that they're going to get their focus off themselves and get their focus on me during this time. So that they'll stop relying on themselves and rely on God and make Him the focus of their life. Wow. Has God taken you that far? Has God taken you to a point where you're saying, you know, God, it's got to be you now at this point. I got to trust you. It's beyond me. Now, what are we taught in society so much today? It's all about me, self-sufficient me. I can handle it all. I can do it all. A lot of that is what we are taught. Bring yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, that kind of thinking. And that's part of our society. But there's a time in which God says, I love you so much, I'm going to take you to the next level. And He says, I want you to stop relying on yourself, and I want you to go to another level with me and rely on me. Paul said, I got to the end of my rope, I tied a knot in the end of it, and I just had to hang on and wait for God. God may do that to you, He may do it to me, so that we have to rely on Him and Him alone. On your outline, God wants you to trust Him more. That's why. He wants you to bail out of yourself and all of the good things and abilities that you have and just say, God, I want to trust you and you alone And he takes you to that point, and it's a humbling thing. But in his wisdom and his love, he'll do that. I see there are some tears this morning, and I think that's great, because I think we recognize that God's going to take you beyond who you are. That's who our God is. That's what our God does. That's a loving God. But he will give you comfort. But he's going to push you to trust him more. You know, I think we've seen some of this modeled around here recently. I've seen it modeled in some of the people that I have done memorial services for, where basically they were suffering. Libby's one. Now, she was dying. But I'll tell you what, there's a woman that was beyond herself, that was looking to God as her strength. And, I mean, it was beyond her. And she sat and talked to me about this. She said, I don't know why I'm doing so well. I mean, I love God, but every day I'm praying, and he's giving me more. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do a message. And I'm going to use you as an example. And she said, please do. Because I said, Libby, it's obvious to me that that is where you're at. I didn't know Lucille as well, but I know Lucille had a strong faith in God too. In a similar way, I just didn't know her as well. The other one's Ann Garcia. She's not here this morning, but Ann is living this. And I'm going to go over next week and plan her memorial service. She wanted me to do that. That's not easy for me to do. But I'll tell you what, some of these ladies, and there are men too, but recently some of these ladies are living and they're just trusting God and they're modeling it as they die. That's the ultimate, I guess, pressure or whatever. But you can see when somebody gets to that point, if they're really walking with God, it's an amazing thing. And Libby was. There are other people in this congregation that are. You know, you talk about the front row of heaven. There's going to be some ladies like that and some men that are going to be on the front row of heaven. They deserve to be because they're living and trusting God. And he is pushing them on. And they are saying, okay, God, it's up to you now. You've got to give me the strength to get through this. This is an amazing chapter. It's just an amazing set of 9 or 10 verses here. Verse 10, He has delivered us from such a deadly peril. Now Paul changes, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope. He says, this is what I'm doing. I'm setting my hope on the Lord, that he will continue to deliver us. And as you help us by your prayers, never stop praying for others and for yourself in a difficult time. Please do. That's what Paul's saying. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Man, an amazing little section. It's a little introduction, and Paul does this a lot, where he kind of steps to the side and just makes some statements, and these are incredibly powerful statements. And they're for you and they're for me today. Let me sum it up this way. At the bottom of your outline, there's a little statement there, and you know, I can say it, but really, after preparing for this, I just think that it's so true. In your suffering, change your attitude from self-pity to serving others. That's what God is saying. From self-pity, for many people, is what we do when we suffer. And there's a certain side or aspect of that that does happen. But move from that to serving others, to saying, okay, God, for the rest of my life, you've allowed this to happen to me, whatever it is. God, use me now to encourage and comfort and strengthen others. Because that's what this is about. And when God allows you to suffer, not every time, I can't say that. But what I can tell you from 2 Corinthians 1 is that one of the reasons he may allow you to do that is so that you can comfort others and so that you'll rely on him more and yourself less. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing little message tucked away in the introduction of a book that was written to a church a couple thousand years ago. Thank you, Lord, that really suffering is part of our walk with you. In this passage, we saw that your son suffered and we will suffer. We saw that Paul suffered. And Lord, whatever form that takes, help us to be more. Use me. Strengthen me. Help me. Lord, thanks for this. Thank you that you do care about us. And there's times that you're going to take us as your servants to new levels in our walk with you, and suffering may be one of those steps. Lord, I pray that you'll just guide and direct in our church, in our congregation, in our church family, that you'll use the suffering that we go through in our lives to encourage and strengthen others through the rest of our life. Lord, thanks that we can give to you, and we do that gratefully, and we do it because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.